the onward movement of man, the energy of the movement, the three ways of increasing human energy. Of all the endless variety of phenomena which nature presents to our senses, there is none that fills our minds with greater wonder than that inconceivably complex movement which, in its entirety, we designate as human life. Its mysterious origin is veiled in the forever impenetrable mist of the past. Its character is rendered incomprehensible by its infinite intricacy, and its destination is hidden in the unfathomable depths of the future. Whence does it come? What is it? Whither does it tend? Are the great questions which the sages of all times have endeavored to answer. Modern science says, the sun is the past, the earth is the present, the moon is the future. From an incandescent mass we have originated, and into a frozen mass we shall turn. Merciless is the law of nature, and rapidly and irresistibly we are drawn to our doom. Lord Kelvin, in his profound meditations, allows us only a short span of life, something like 6 million years, after which time the sun's bright light will have ceased to shine, and its life-giving heat will have ebbed away, and our own earth will be a lump of ice hurrying on through the eternal night. But do not let us despair. There will still be left upon it a glimmering spark of life, and there will be a chance to kindle a new fire on some distant star. This wonderful possibility seems, indeed, to exist, judging from Professor Dewar's beautiful experiments with liquid air, which show that germs of organic life are not destroyed by cold, no matter how intense. Consequently, they may be transmitted through the interstellar space. Meanwhile, the cheering lights of science and art, ever increasing in intensity, illuminate our path, and marvels they disclose, and the enjoyments they offer, make us measurably forgetful of the gloomy future. Though we may never be able to comprehend human life, we know certainly that it is a movement, of whatever nature it be. The existence of movement unavoidably implies a body which is being moved and a force which is moving it. Hence, wherever there is life, there is a mass moved by a force. All mass possesses inertia. All force tends to persist. Owing to this universal property and condition, a body, be it at rest or in motion, tends to remain in the same state, and a force manifesting itself anywhere and through whatever cause produces an equivalent opposing force, and as an absolute necessity of this, it follows that every movement in nature must be rhythmical. Long ago, this simple truth was clearly pointed out by Herbert Spencer, who arrived at it through a somewhat different process of reasoning. It is borne out in everything we perceive, in the movement of a planet, in the surging and ebbing of the tide, in the reverberations of the air, the swinging of a pendulum, the oscillations of an electric current, and in the infinitely varied phenomena of organic life. Does not the whole of human life attest to it? Birth, growth, old age, and death of an individual, family, race, or nation, what is it all but a rhythm? All life manifestation, then, even in its most intricate form, as exemplified in man, however involved and inscrutable, is only a movement to which the same general laws of movement which govern throughout the physical universe must be applicable. See Nikola Tesla, Colorado Springs Notes, page 334, photograph 10. Figure 1. Burning the nitrogen of the atmosphere. Note to figure 1. This result is produced by the discharge of an electrical oscillator giving 12 million volts. The electrical pressure, alternating 100,000 times per second, excites the normally inert nitrogen, causing it to combine with the oxygen. The flame-like discharge shown in the photograph measures 65 feet across. When we speak of man, we have a conception of humanity as a whole, and before applying scientific methods to the investigation of his movement, we must accept this as a physical fact. But can anyone doubt today that all the millions of individuals and all the innumerable types and characters constitute an entity, a unit? Though free to think and act, we are held together, like the stars in the firmament, with ties inseparable. These ties cannot be seen, but we can feel them. I cut myself in the finger, and it pains me. This finger is a part of me. I see a friend hurt, and it hurts me too. My friend and I are one. And now I see, stricken down, an enemy, a lump of matter, which, of all the lumps of matter in the universe, I care least for, and it still grieves.